today, the theme of it is, consider Christ's omniscience. Consider his omniscience. And we're looking at a confrontation, if you want to call it that, with a disciple by the name of Nathanael. Nathanael. And it says in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael. Now that's something I believe to be very powerful. Shortly after, Philip is said, follow me. And he follows him. Notice what he does. He goes looking for somebody else. He doesn't just follow Christ and keep it at that. And many others of the disciples, we've learned that from them as well. Think of Andrew, right? Who would we not know about if it wasn't for Andrew? Peter. Yeah. I mean, we know about Peter, right? He's pretty boisterous, pretty loud, and, you know, and bold. But his brother said, hey, we've met the Messiah. You know, you got to come meet him. That's what Philip does. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Interesting. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? You know, how do you know me? How can you make that claim about me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? I like this statement, don't you? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Consider his omniscience. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to open your word. Thank you for these songs that we were able to sing a few moments ago. Thank you for each one that's made their way here today and those that are joining us online. Most importantly, Father, we need you to meet with us. We need your Spirit to speak. We don't need to hear a man. We need to hear the Word of God empowered by the Spirit of God. And so please, as we listen, as we speak, please control. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Think about what we have today in 2021 by way of knowledge. Remember, there's a big difference between knowledge and wisdom. Brother Kim read about wisdom a few moments ago in James chapter number 3. And that's what we need every day as God's children. We need wisdom. Wisdom that is from above. Now, this world is filled with knowledge. You can pick up a little gizmo cell phone and type in stuff and find all kinds of worldly knowledge. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that this world is filled with knowledge. This world is filled. Another word we might use with that is the word information. Information. You can find out all kinds of information. Well, that's not what we're talking about today when we consider the omniscience of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is before time. He is after time. He is not bound by time. And he is all-knowing. That is what the word omniscient means. The word omniscient means he is all-knowing. There is no one like him. In fact, the Bible tells us that he is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of our very heart. You know, I can't determine that, can I, about you or you about me? I mean, I can try. I can't see into your heart. I can't see into your motive for whatever, the intent of what you are doing when it comes to living for the Lord. But Jesus is not bound by that. He can see right through us, if you will. He knows exactly why we're doing what we're doing. And so this is exactly what we find out, though, here in this text of Scripture, that Jesus knew everything about this man, Nathanael, before Nathanael was even in his presence. And he would that could be said about you as well. And notice it says in verse number 43, as we look at our text, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me, follow me. Now, when you think about following Jesus, it's not just like yesterday. We had an opportunity, a few of us, to go on a walk slash hike. I know those of you that are really into hiking would have said that's not a hike. That's just a stroll. You have to be climbing rocks and doing all that. Oh, we did climb a couple of rocks, though. And a few of us climbed up in a tree. And so, I think it was hiking. But anyway, what were we doing? We were just following a path. Somebody else had paved the way. No pavement, but you know what I'm saying? They had already beat down the path, and we're just following the one in front of us. And so when Jesus said, follow me, it wasn't just go on a dirt road beside me or behind me, and follow me as I go from city to city. It was follow me meant you're going to give your life for me and to me, and I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to disciple you, and you're going to see some great things happen. And so following Christ in 2021 is that very same thing. We're not following Jesus today for the miracles, I hope. We're not following him for what he can do for us. He's already done everything we could ever need. He's given us eternal life. He sacrificed his body so that we could be saved and be redeemed and be on our way to heaven. And so he says to us today, even follow me. In other words, those who followed the Lord in this time, as he said, follow me, they were saying, they were saying goodbye to their profession. These particular disciples, the beginning, his disciples, they were, a lot of them were fishermen, or they had other professions of work. And so doctors and tax collectors and on it goes. And so when they were following him, they were no longer doing what it is that they were called to do. And so those who followed Christ were turning from other areas of work, maybe, if you will, and completely living for him. What does that mean? It means that you say, Pastor, should we quit our jobs and just follow God 100%? No, not necessarily. But where do you put your full and complete trust? Is my full and complete trust in where I'm getting paid from? Or is it in the God of heaven? See, that's what it means today, in my opinion, to follow him, that I completely trust God for everything. And no matter what comes my way, I know God's going to take care of it. I know God's going to take care of me. I know God's going to take care of Anchor Baptist Church because it doesn't belong to you or me. It's his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so that's my, what it means when I think of following him, I'm putting my complete trust in him. So here's the first man, Philip, to begin following the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see right off the bat that one of the characteristics of a true follower of Jesus Christ is this: they want others to follow him too. And that's exactly what Philip does. He goes and finds Nathanael. To me, that's a true friend. For someone to say, hey, you got to come meet Jesus Christ. We've met somebody special. That's what Philip did, right? Maybe today you may not say it quite like that. You could, though. Nothing wrong with that. I want to introduce you to the one who's changed my life. His name is Jesus Christ. Let me tell you about him. Or I want to invite you to the church that I've been attending for 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 2 years. I'd like you to come be my guest, because you can invite visitors now to come with you to Anchor Baptist Church and have them to come and be a part of these meetings and say, God, through his son, has made a difference, and church is so important, and we want you to come, and I want you to experience what God has done in my life. See, that's a true friend. I'm thankful for the witnessing emphasis that many of you have. Maybe it's passing out a track. Maybe it's inviting someone to RU. Maybe it's sharing the gospel with someone in any time we get a chance. But most importantly, the most important witness we have to our own family. To our own family. And so Philip findeth Nathanael. All right? Let's look into this outline now. Number one is Nathanael's outlook. Nathanael's outlook. We find that in verses 45 and 46. Philip specifically mentions to Nathanael the writings of Moses and the prophets. What is he doing? We can do this same thing. We could do exactly what Philip does when someone says, when you're introducing someone to what God has done in your life, do you know what Philip did? He went to the Scriptures. You know what we ought to be doing? Going to the Scriptures. Philip points Nathanael to the Scriptures that they had, the Law and the Prophets, and that's exactly what we can do today. My words are not going to change anyone's life, and neither are yours. But as we've heard over and over again, this book right here is all-powerful. Satan can do nothing with the power of this book right here. And so what does he do? He begins to give him the Scriptures. It is what moves the heart of men, meaning mankind. It's what's moved my heart. Every day we have the privilege as a believer to open the Word of God, and it's fresh bread from heaven. It's meat for our strength, as we looked at even this morning, of wanting to grow and have strong meat as part of our daily diet. Where does that all point back to? The same place that Philip takes Nathanael. He says, we've heard about him. We've read about him. Let me tell you about him. This is the one. And today we have the full counsel of God. We have all 66 books here in our hands. And we take that message to a world and we say, this is what changed my life. The Scripture, the Word of God. Let me share it with you. Isaiah 55:11 tells us that God's Word shall accomplish that which he pleases. What is God willing that not any should do? Perish. God's word will accomplish what God pleases. It is quick, it is powerful. Hebrews 4:12. Letter A, Nathanael was cautious regarding Scripture. What does the Bible say? When you think about God, what does the Bible say? Those are lessons we ought to be helping our kids and helping those around us. You know, some have had dreams and some have had visions, and I'm not taking anything away from those. I'm not saying that all of it is not from the Lord, but I know one area where complete emphasis and confidence can be placed. God's Word. God's Word. It shall never fail. It's forever settled in heaven, the Word of God. John chapter 5, verse 46. Jesus said, for had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. He wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And this is Jesus Christ as he's walking the earth. And what is he doing? He's pointing back to Scripture. He's the living Word, right? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, John 1:14, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And here he is walking the earth, and what is he saying? You should have believed Moses. You should have believed the prophets. You should have believed the Word of God, because if you believe what's in this book, I want to encourage you in 2021, like never before, we need to have complete confidence in Scripture. You can take anything away. The government can take anything away that they want to take away. But they cannot take away the confidence that we have in the very Word of God. Keep in the book. Keep in the book. Sunday is not the time to fill up on your Bible for the rest of the week. It's just a kickstart for the week. And then you get into it every day. Getting into the book. Why? Because it's what's going to give you the power to say no to sin and say yes to Christ. Jesus emphasized it over. Think about who is that emphasizing it? It's God's Son. So take a page from God's Son, if you want to call it that, and let's get into the Word of God. Letter A, cautious to Scripture. Letter B, calloused regarding Nazareth. You've probably read this verse before, many of you, maybe some of you first time. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? What a statement. How could a city like Nazareth produce the Messiah? Nazareth was close to the important trade routes of Palestine. Many caravans of people would pass through from Gilead to the south and the west. It was a place of military and merchants. And so because of that, Nazareth had a reputation of wicked, immoral living. And so that's why Nathanael would say that. In fact, it was not considered an important part of the religious life of the people in Israel. In fact, this statement was made: if you want to be rich, go to Nazareth. But if you want wisdom, go to Jerusalem. That's not a Bible verse. That's just a quote that was made about Nazareth. And so again, you can kind of picture this conversation, Philip and Nathanael, and he tells them Jesus of Nazareth. And immediately, Nathanael is saying, whoa, 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 whoa. That's not a good place. That's a sinful place. By the way, there is no place that isn't sinful except heaven itself. That's a sinful place. That's a wicked place. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Here was an opportunity by Philip to either argue. You know what? Sometimes the enemy wants us to argue. Have you ever had an argument with somebody? Don't raise your hand. I'm not saying in general. I'm talking about spiritual things. And it's somebody who maybe has a different way of viewing things, and it's a partly Bible, but it's partly not Bible. If it's partly not Bible and partly Bible, then it's no Bible at all. Right? It's got to be right down the line, the Word of God. So this is what exactly could have happened right here. This was an opportunity for an argument really to take place. And Philip takes the high road and basically just says, just come with me. See for yourself. You see that at the end of verse 46? He's questioning him and he's saying, there is no way anything good could come out of Nazareth. Philip just says, okay, just come with me. Do you have at least a half an hour? Do you have an hour? It's not in there, but do you have just a little bit of time? Just come with me and see. And I would submit to you today that when we meet people that might be a bit cynical, it's not about winning an argument. There's no point in arguing someone who's cynical. The point is taking them to the Word of God, and they don't even want to hear about the Word of God. Guess what? You have the Word of God in your testimony. So the next best place to go, if they don't want to listen to God's Word, is give them the testimony of how God has made a complete change in your life and giving God all the glory for it. See, Christianity is different from anything else that many people have ever known. You know that most religious systems in this world really offer no hope of attaining whatever they're trying to attain. It's just a constant cycle of trying and trying and trying and trying, but never good enough. Well, I'm so glad. I'm so encouraged today that that's not Christianity. That's not how our God is. Our God has put His best into His Son, Jesus Christ, and letting Him be sacrificed that we don't have to die and go to hell. And I don't have to try anything. I just have to trust in His provision of salvation through Jesus Christ. And I just have to open this book up and let this book change me and transform me and let God have His will and way. And He loves me even when I'm unlovely. That's not religion, is it? Religion is very oppressive. Testimonies of people, numerous people, and one even recently saying that it's so oppressive to the country that this individual is from. No, what is it in Christ? What do we have in Christ? Freedom. Freedom in Christ. So we have Nathanael's outlook. Then number two, we have the Savior's omniscience. The Savior's omniscience. One of His attributes of deity is His omniscience. As we said, God knows everything. Now, Jesus Christ was the God-man. He was completely God and completely man. He was co-equal with God. Okay? So, He had that attribute with Him when He was on this earth. the attribute of omniscience, of being all-knowing. It's how he could make the statement that he made in verse number 48 and in verse 47. Let's not lose sight of that. Look what he says about Nathanael, and we'll talk about this, I think, in just a few minutes. He said that he was an Israelite and he had no guile. He had never met him before. How good at you are the first time you see somebody sizing them up and their character? You can't do that right away. I can't do that right away. You got to give somebody a chance to talk sometimes, don't you? And then we kind of know sometimes. I remember working for a company and hiring people, and unfortunately I had to not hire people. I had to let people go. But the point is that you don't know anybody from the original meeting with them. That's not how Jesus was, though. He knew right away. And he said, Nathanael has no guile. Interesting statement. And then he says where he was seated. He said, I saw you under that fig tree. Wow. See, think about it. God is always watching what you and I are involved in. Proverbs 15:3. Would you turn over there? You know, I saw you, yesterday. You know, isn't it something how little kids think if we're hiding behind something, if they just hide their eyes, you can't see them anymore. Just because they can't see me doesn't mean I can't see them. Thank you, Brother Barry, for helping over there. And Proverbs 15:3 says, the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Oh, boy. Think about that the next time we contemplate sin or temptation. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. God sees it all. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. This is the first time Nathanael meets Jesus. So we who have had the Bible and teaching and training, here's Nathanael. He's meeting the God-man in person for the first time. And he has this same attribute of being omniscient. Think about as you discovered things in the Word of God and how God began to open your eyes and you began to see just how powerful God is. I don't know that we've experienced or seen it all yet, have we? There's so much more to see. Letter A, he knows the heart of man. He knows the heart of man. Again, I emphasize once again because the text is there and it emphasizes it, in whom is no guile. What does this mean? This means Jesus says to Nathanael, I know you're sincere. I know you're sincere. Amazing, isn't it? What was Nathanael sincere about? Looking for truth. I want to encourage you today. This world is filled with more Nathanaels. There are Nathanaels all over. They may not be given that name, but they have another name. And they are sincerely wanting to find truth. You know them, and I know them. They're around us, and sometimes they're people that we don't even know that God brings into our path at just the right moment and just the right time, and they're sincere. Yes, they're on their way to hell. They need Christ, but they're sincerely, someone's praying for them, or maybe they visited a church one time, or maybe they got a gospel postcard in the mail, not just from Anchor Baptist, but from somebody else or from some other group, and there's a seed there, and they're searching for truth. Let's be on the lookout, listening for the leading of the Holy Spirit of God so that we too can be people that share the truth. We don't have all the answers, but God does. We have the truth. We have the Word of God that has all the answers. People are all around us today searching and seeking, and you say, I don't see anybody like that. Well, they're there. Ask God to give you the vision to be able to see someone who is searching for truth. I'm not saying that you wake up in the middle of the night and see somebody's face on the wall or something like that. But God impresses upon your heart as we just go about our normal life to lead us to people that are searching for truth. God knows who they are, and God knows the path that He wants you and I to go on. Think about that. God knows more about us than we know about us. Meaning God's will is what I want. I have a plan. You have a plan. But we have God's plan that needs to be in the forefront because God knows me better than I know me. So He knows the heart of man, but number two, or letter B, He knows the location of man. You know, as you think about God knowing your heart, I want to encourage you. Maybe you've come to church today, and maybe you're joining us online today, and we thank you for joining us online. And you have a deep, heavy burden right now, and you don't even want to tell anybody about it, but I want you to know God knows about it. Because He sees the heart. So don't think you're alone. Your Heavenly Father is wanting you to cry out to Him about what He already knows. I want to encourage you, come to Him today. Take His yoke. Leave yours behind. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy. My burden is light." He knows the location of man. He said, "Thou wast under the fig tree." In fact, Jesus not only knew where He was, but He knew what He was thinking about under the fig tree. Maybe He was just getting out of the heat, maybe getting out of the sun and getting under the shade of the fig tree a little bit. What He was thinking about. Just as Jesus saw Nathanael under that tree and knew his need, I want you to know that as you are in your apartment or as you're in your house or wherever you are, no matter driving your car or sitting on the bus, God knows exactly where you are and He knows exactly what you need. God knows exactly where I am, and He knows exactly what I need. And so this isn't just a story about Nathanael. This is a story about me. When you read the Bible, make it personal. This is a story about you. This is you under a maple tree, all right? Unless you have a fig tree. If you have a fig tree, please let me know. I'll come by and help you with the fruit of that. Have you ever had fresh figs? Who's ever had a fresh fig? Who has never had a fresh fig? Oh, my. We've got to get some fresh figs in here. I'm telling you what, we had an Italian gentleman in the church years ago, and he used to bring us bowls of fresh figs. Oh, they didn't last long around our house. You look at it and you think, you just eat the whole thing? Yeah, you just bite in and eat the whole thing. Wash it maybe a little bit. I didn't even wash mine, to tell you the truth. I dated, I didn't care. But anyway, who knows what's anyway. But fig, he may see you under a maple tree or an oak tree, but he sees you. He might see you. How about this one? He might see you under a weeping willow. And that's what you're doing. You have a broken heart. So this story, church, this story, this isn't just about a guy named Nathanael. This is you and me. And I'm so thankful that He knows where we are. Here we are in the upper room, as we call it. How many meeting locations now? I have no idea. God knows where we are as a church. I want you to know that. God knows. He knows because we are first in the alphabet. Amen? A, B, C. He knows where we are. And He knows where we're going to be. This side of heaven. Hey, I know where I'm going to be. On the other side, I'm going to be with the Lord. That place that He's preparing for us that we can worship Him. For all eternity. Looking forward to that day. So he knows the location of man. He sees where we are right now, and He sees where we are in the future. Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. Thou hast searched me and known me. You know my down sitting. You know my uprising. He says, you understandest my thought afar off. Interesting. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Get these updates every month because of Google maybe or something, and it gives you this email and it says tells you where you've been, I need to turn that thing off maybe. But someday I may not want anybody tracking me. And I don't mean that in a wrong way. I think you know what I'm saying. And but anyway, it's really strange sometimes, you know. Oh, yeah, that's right. I did go over there. God knows where we're going. So we see Nathanael's outlook. I got to move here. We got one more big point. The Savior's omniscient. And then we see, number three, the sinner's opportunity. The sinner's opportunity. Nathanael was a sinner. Just like you and just like me. It is the problem in all the world today. Sin. That is the problem in our world. Sin. My sin and your sin. But we thank God today we have a message of hope. Even though we have this sin nature that we have inherited, we have an opportunity to be free from that sin nature. We have an opportunity to be forgiven through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad to be standing before you today, those of you online, that I know I'm on my way to heaven, not because I'm a good man, because of the gift of God, which is eternal life, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Letter A, we have to profess faith. To profess faith. No one is saved until they first believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is not just a good man. He is God. He is not just a prophet. He is the Son of God. He turned to Jesus and believed. Nathanael turned to Jesus and believed in him as the Messiah, God in human flesh. Do you remember another man who did this at the end of the gospel according to John? Thomas. Remember Thomas? He said something interesting, didn't he? That gives us another indication that Jesus is not just a good man. Thomas said to him, remember? He said, "My Lord and my God." And did Jesus say, no, don't say that? No, he didn't say that. He never corrected him. That's John 20, verse 28 and 29. He never corrected him. Why? Because he is God. Because he is the God-man. We have an opportunity today as sinners. If you're online today and you're not saved, then you're a sinner headed for hell. And you need Christ. You have an opportunity once again to say yes to Jesus Christ. If you're here in this upper room today, and I don't want to assume everybody in this rooms are saved. And so if you are in these rooms today and you're not saved, you have an opportunity today to accept Jesus Christ by faith. Don't turn down these opportunities. Eventually they're going to run out. But today we have that opportunity to profess faith. I found this to be an interesting story. I'd like to read it to you quickly. USA Today had a front page article regarding the World Trade Center, September 11th, 2001. They interviewed 300 survivors that made it out and family members of people that did not make it out. They survived, those who survived in the South Tower were those who did not delay. They did not delay leaving. When the North Tower was hit, those in the top of the South Tower had 16 and a half minutes before the next plane would come, Flight 175. 1,400 people in the building immediately escaped. 600 did not. Here was the conclusion. You probably already figured it out. Here was the conclusion. If they delayed, most did not make it out. Nathanael, he didn't delay. As soon as he heard the voice of the Lord, he believed. He received. And if you've been saved today, praise God you didn't delay. You're on your way to heaven. There are many in our world today that need to come to Christ. There are even people within Anchor Baptist Church that need to come to Christ. There are people that sit here on Friday nights in the RU meeting that we're praying for to come to Christ. You're praying for neighbors, and you're praying for family members, and you're praying for parents possibly, or siblings, or a spouse to come to Christ. We must pray that they not delay. We must pray that they today come to Christ and profess Him to be Savior. And letter B is so that they can possess eternal life. They can possess eternal life. Nathanael had a bias toward Nazareth. Right? Did anything good come out of Nazareth? And that bias was taken away, and he became a believer. From bias to believer. Oh, and believe me, God wants to do the same thing today in anyone that is willing to come to Him to possess eternal life. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee," verse 50, "I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou?" I love this statement. And again, I know I've said that already, but "thou shalt see greater things than thee." Have we not seen God do great things in our life? Sure we have. We've seen God do miracles in our life. But I believe we can look at that verse and say, I can't wait for the greater things that God has in store. I can't wait for the greatest thing. And that will be once and forever, we'll get to see Jesus Christ. We'll get to see our Savior's nail-scarred hands. And we'll get to see His sword-pierced side. And we'll get to worship Him and give Him our crowns that He gives to us. That's going to be the greatest day. Looking forward to that. Nathanael, this is nothing. You're going to see a lot more than this. This is the first time in the New Testament that the Son of Man is used to describe the Lord, by the way. The reason why is because the Son of Man term refers to the sufferings of Jesus Christ. He had to suffer. He had to die. For the wages of sin. Substitutionary. He died so I can live. He died so you can live. He died so murderers can live. He died so prostitutes can live. He died so liars can live. He died so we can all live. Praise God for that. Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way," John 14:6. "The truth and the life, no man cometh unto the Father but by me." I wonder today, those of you that are here, those of you online, if you're wondering, should I get saved? I don't know. Yes, you should. May today be the day of your salvation. God sees you. Think about your family today that you're praying for to be saved. God sees them. I think today as we go to prayer to end this Bible teaching hour, we need to all think of someone in our family, someone in our neighborhood, someone that we're praying for. And as we close this Bible teaching part of the service, let's bring their names to the throne room. And let's ask the Lord, God, you know right where they are right now. God, you see them at home. You see them over here. You see them in another country. God, would you in a miraculous way bring the gospel to them one more time? That they might be, instead of being cynical, that they might be humbled and today say, "I choose Christ."